I want to welcome everyone. Welcome to the Success Circle Q&A call. This is Lisa Minini. I want to welcome all of our new members. Congratulations and welcome if this is your first Q&A call. And also welcome existing Success Circle members, both the Elite and the Success Circle members. Thank you so much and for being here today. And I just wanted to go over what the Q&A call is for those new members. The Q&A call is your time each month to meet with your other high-achieving peers to get coaching, get your questions asked, so you can move on and move up quickly. And you can ask questions about the last laser coaching call, about the Entrepreneurial Edge system, the steps in it, about a stuck point that you might be having that might be specific to your business. You know, there's no right or wrong question to ask in the Q&A call. Now, it's preferred that you come on to the call live. That way, I can ask you different questions about your question as we go through it and really understand it. But there's going to be times where you're just marketing your business and you just cannot be here, like today. The people that had submitted questions couldn't be here today, so I'm going to take those questions and answer them for them so they can listen in the Success Circle audio library later. And that's the kind of the convenience of being a member, is that you get the calls, you get the recording of the calls, so you can listen to it. So if you happen to miss it, you know, you can catch it in the Success Circle. Now, I do recommend that you try to make these live by using the recurring function in your calendar. Simply the second Tuesday of each month at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Simply put a recurring appointment on your calendar. That way it's there and you've already got that scheduled. Same with the Q&A call. Every fourth Tuesday of the month, also at 4:30 p.m. And then that way it can be in your calendar so that you make time for it and make time for your business. Now, a lot of people use not only the laser coaching calls but the Q&A calls to use as an accountability feature for them. And here's how it works. Many of my clients will use that as an update for their business, as just a way of working on their business on a regular and get into the habit of that. So I share that with you so that if that works for you, great. Go ahead and adapt it for your own business. I also want to mention some upcoming events that we have. Remember to mark your calendars for Tuesday, October 11th, for the next High Content Business Accelerator call. That's where the High Content Business Accelerator call is. We take a specific area of the Entrepreneurial Edge and we expand on it, or it's a point that I will interview a subject matter expert who will come on and tell you all about their area of expertise. For example, I had Lisa Mannion that had come on. She's with Right On Creative, which is script writer. She writes sales pages and your website and things like that. And she gave us some wonderful tips about what you should have in a press release. And so again, that's found also on the Success Circle site. So if you're interested in listening to that, you have full access to that in the audio library. But that's the advantage of having the high content calls, is because you can really go deep into some of the what you're learning in the Entrepreneurial Edge system. And it's important to also submit if you don't see something, or you're having see something in the libraries, or you're having a problem with a specific subject matter expert that you would like additional training on. Feel free to email us at info@accelerateassociates.com and just let us know that you would like that in an upcoming high content call. And then that way I can bring on subject matter experts to help expand on that. So feel free to do that. Your next, also mark in your calendar the next Q&A call. Next month is October 25th, which is also a Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. And just a reminder to the Elite Success Circle members, remember to schedule your laser coaching call if you have not yet done that. Again, just email info, I-N-F-O, at acceleratesociates.com. Just say that you want to schedule your next laser coaching call, and we'll send you some dates and times that we have available for those. So, okay, well, let's get started here. I know many of you submitted questions, so I'd like to start getting to those. And our first one comes from... we don't have a name. Okay, we don't have a name on the first one. Okay, is there a special way to position your products when you're selling with your speaking? This is a great question. A lot of coaches, consultants, speakers, authors will also speak as part of their marketing mix, as part of the way that they market their business. And for even speakers, speakers get paid, in many cases, professional speakers get paid to speak. And as part of that, many times at the end, you can sell a product or service from your speaking. Excuse me, I need water here. So, at the very end, when you are mentioning the different resources that are available at the end of your, usually at the end of your speaking engagement, the question is, how do you position your products? Well, there's several ways to do this, but I will share with you a very common mistake, and the reason I want to share this with you is so that you don't make it. I made it when I first got it started speaking. A lot of people do, but I want to share it with you so you don't do it. So if you use speaking as part of your marketing mix, or you're getting out there as a professional speaker, there's a couple of things to remember about positioning your products. First and foremost, throughout your entire programming, you want to be able to what's called seed, S-E-E-D, seed. So when you're speaking, you want to make sure that you share what, not the products, but what people who have purchased your products achieved. Now, it's really important that you know before you even start your speech what it is you're going to sell at the end of the speech. First and foremost, not to do your speech, and a lot of people do this backwards, is they figure out what their speech is first and then try to funnel in a product or service at the end. It's actually the opposite of what you should be doing. You should actually look at what are those product and services that you want people to funnel into, and how do you reverse engineer your talk so that you're educating people throughout the whole time and not getting to a point in your speech where suddenly you have to sell your products. And this is what happens. People end up creating a talk, and then they get to the end of the talk, and then they say, well, these are my packages. And then they start to whiz by it or get real nervous and try to sell their products. It never works, and it's awkward, and people feel icky. And the better way is to understand what product or service are you offering at the end of your speech, first of all. What action do you want people to take? Now, we've had financial planners, for example, that also speak, that do webinars and teleseminars. What action at the very end do you want people to take? Do you want them to funnel into another webinar or a workshop that you do? Okay. And if that's the case, then what are the outcomes of that workshop that they're going to also get? And what the other people who've experienced your workshops, what have they gotten? Why do you want to know that? Well, because then you reverse engineer. You put that into your talk. And not in a salesy way, but you mention it throughout your talk. I'll give you some examples. Let's say, for example, you are a trainer. I'll use a trainer as an example. Or no, let's go back to financial planner. Okay, let me go back to financial planner. Let's say you're a financial planner, and you're doing a speech that you have, and the action that you want people to take at the end is you want them to sign up for a one-day workshop. Let's say you do a one-hour speech, and you want them to sign up for a one-day workshop with you, or a three-hour workshop. Let's say it's a three-hour workshop, okay? And what you want to do is you want to look at what are the outcomes that people are going to get from that three-hour workshop. And then what you want to do is weave that into your talk. So as you're giving them content, and you want your speeches to give them high content, you want to say, well, you know, and there's a three-hour workshop that I'll tell you about later, but I want to let you know that, there's a three-hour workshop that I'll tell you about a little bit later, and when so-and-so attended, when John attended, this is the result he got from this. And that's just one way to seed a program that you're going to mention to them a little bit later. You don't spend a lot of time on it, but you're educating, you're preparing them for what they're going to hear later. So that way, when you get to your packages or your package that you want them to sign up for, it's not going to be a real surprise to them. Okay, and not only that, you're going to give them content a lot along the way. Now, that's one way to seed your talk. Now, the question was, is there a special way to position your products when you're selling with your speaking? Now, that's one way to position, by seeding so that people know what's coming. Okay, now there's a specific formula of how to do this, and I also go through this with my mastermind program, but I want to make sure that one of the key things that you pay attention to is what is your sales funnel? When you're speaking, what is your funnel? What are you funneling them through? So, for example, do you want them to go to a workshop? Do you want them to buy a product? They're meeting you for the first time, which is like usually an hour. So what is it? What is the next step? Now, I'll have you also, how invested are they when they do come to see you speak? So if this is a 20-minute talk, for example, and you only have 20 minutes, and they're not really highly invested, meaning maybe they didn't pay to even come see you speak, then they're probably not really highly invested in your topic. So in that case, you may just want to get them on your list, for example. And that's the first part of your sales funnel, okay? The secondarily, you might offer a lower-priced product or a lower-priced service, an introductory meeting with them. Those are some ways to position your product. Now, do you want, you know, one or two packages if you're going to sell at the very end of your speech? Again, that depends on what your sales funnel is. So, number one, understand what your sales funnel is. Number two, how invested are they in seeing you? Number three, how much time do you have? Because that's going to matter. A 20-minute speech or an hour speech, real big difference there in terms of what you offer and how you're able to engage your audience for that period of time. So that's going to matter too. And then also understand, you know, this may, depending on what your sales funnel is, you might be able to offer a higher price product if they're very engaged, they came to see you speak, and you have a good amount of time, at least an hour to 70 minutes, in which to engage with the audience. And so higher price programs are probably going to sell at that point. But don't try to oversell them or undersell them. Again, just remember what your sales process is. And that can help you just kind of gauge how to position your products. Now, a lot of people say, well, do I offer my highest price program first and then my lowest price program? Again, it depends on what it is you're trying to, what your sales funnel is and what your product offerings are. Now, I did another high content call on, or was it a Q&A call on pricing your products. But again, if you have any questions regarding specific product, when you're selling, you're speaking, that's probably something for a laser coaching call, because this could, you know, each situation is different. Now, you can offer different, people do like choices generally, but when would you only offer one choice? Well, when you know exactly what your sales funnel is, and you definitely want them to only take one option. But in all cases, you definitely want to make sure you get people on your list. So whether you do a drawing at the end of your talk, and so everybody fills out a sheet of paper that they put their name and email, and you make a drawing and somebody wins something for free, that's a great way to get names. But make sure they know they're going to get on your list and you're going to send them whatever it is. You're going to send them whatever your subject matter is, tips or, you know, whatever. For me, they get on my accelerator easing. And so they get weekly business growth tips. They get high content articles. So those are some things to understand about what your sales funnel is. You always want to get people on your list. So whether or not they buy from you that day, you want to be able to have that stay-in-touch vehicle in which they will constantly receive information from you. And if they're not your ideal client, they will click off. And that's the magic of permission-based marketing. You want to get their permission, and if not, they go away. And that's okay, because you want to work with your preferred clients. So, again, there's some specific things to remember. How are you seeding your products throughout your entire talk? Again, it could just be, you know, a matter-of-fact story. And then that way, when you get to your products and your offerings, whatever you're offering at the end of your speech, it doesn't feel like you're bombarding them with information. You've already talked about it in your speech, and you can say, remember when I told you about the story about so-and-so and the results they got? Well, this is the program they were in. Okay, and then you can refer back to it because you've used them as an example of an outcome that they got by using one of your products or services, and at the end you're selling that product or service. So I hope that made some sense for those of you who are starting to position your products when you're selling with your speaking. So just understand seeding. You've got to know what your strategy is, and you've got to know what your sales funnel is. What are you funneling them into? But first and foremost, you've got to understand what you're going to offer as your products, and then reverse engineer your talk. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Another question that came in. My biggest frustration is identifying clients and targeting them, and this is from Evie. There's a couple identifying clients and targeting them. When people get started in business, and I'm assuming you're getting just started in your business, there's a tendency to cast a wide net. Those who've been on these calls know what I'm going to say. You try to be everything to everyone, and you're nothing to no one. That's common to do. But how do you really figure out that niche you really want to work in? Well, first of all, I think a lot of people end up looking externally. And while that is important, and what I mean by looking externally is they look at, they might do research and say, oh, this is a really great niche. I need to get into this niche. And it's just kind of a haphazard. Might be research-based. May not be, but sometimes they just pick a niche and go for it. That's one way. And that's looking externally. You might look at data And looking at the data is good. You might see a growth in a specific niche area and go after that particular market, and that's fine. But what happens a lot of times is, when I work with a lot of heart-centered entrepreneurs, they end up getting really disenfranchised when they cannot find clients because they didn't look at innately who they were and what their internal gifts are that would be appealing to their ideal clients. And what I mean by this is recently, I had a conversation with someone about this very thing, and she always looked externally at a lot of, where could she fit into that people would like to buy her services, rather than saying, wait a minute, what are my gifts? What do I bring to the table? Why do people like to work with me? My very favorite clients, why do they like to work with me? What are those attributes? And that's a fundamental question you really should ask yourself first. What are those natural gifts that you bring to the table, those natural abilities that people will say, yes, you're exactly who I want to work with because this, this, and this. And the reason that's important is so many people do look externally, and that's part of the equation. But the other part of the equation is, wait a minute, you bring a very specific mix and a very specific and unique perspective to what you do. Now, there's a gazillion financial planners out there, right? But each financial planner has their own unique mix of how they look at things. Each chiropractor has their own unique way that they approach health and wellness. Each, trainer has a different way. Each coach has a different area. And people will connect not only with your products and services that you offer and that, you're providing a solution to their problem, but they're also going to look at those likability factors, why they connect with you, why they would connect with you. Because not only do you want to get clients, not only do you want to identify them and target them, but you want to identify and target clients that are going to be attracted to you because that's too what they're looking for. So first and foremost, take stock, in who you are as a person, why people would do business with you, what is appealing, what is attracting about you. Then also find out where the need is. Find out where the need is, and you can ask through the lead generation system. Find out what, do some research through your lead generation and ask, well, what is your biggest problem about X, whatever that X is? And then, target some of what you would look at as your ideal clients, and then ask them, what's your biggest frustration about, and then your subject matter area. And then as you get data back, my biggest frustration is this, my biggest frustration is that, then you're going to know what they're looking for. And you can offer products and services that will address their biggest frustrations or struggles. So your lead generator, your lead generation system is a really important system. One of the most important, I believe, when you get your business started. And it's also important as you market your business to get market data that is that is updated. For example, I have a couple of lead generators, and one of them asks, what's your biggest frustration about starting a business? I'm constantly getting market data on from people who are filling that in. So I can say, am I on target here? Is my product offerings and service offerings with the market? And then you can start seeing if the market is changing. But understand that you look internally, then ask your market what their biggest frustration or struggle is. And then also understand, are you B2B, business-to-business, business-to-consumer? I think a lot of people try to cast a wide net when they get started, and they're like, I just don't know. Well, they don't even know what market. So is it a small market? Which market can actually, like, for example, consultants are notorious for having difficulty identifying their target market. And for some consultants, there are only certain markets that can actually sustain their kind of consulting work. So the sheer nature of the kind of work you do will determine which market you're in, the small market, the medium-sized market, or the large-sized market, business market. So those are kind of those factors to identifying clients. Now, let's say you've identified the small market. You're like, okay, I've decided on I'm going to go after the small business market. Okay, great. Locally, regionally, nationally, internationally, start narrowing down your the geographics. And then also remember when you've done that, there's places to go to find those clients. So let's say you're saying, okay, I want to go in the small size market, but they've got to have a certain amount of employees. How do I find these companies? Simple. One source is an option. I think it's onesource.com. It's a database. You can do some searching. You can do searching on business codes, NAICS codes, I think it's called. And that, you can go to Dun & Bradstreet, and you can get listings. You can go into Chambers of Commerce if you're looking at the small business market. They're famous for having their directories even online. So you can connect with people that way. There's a lot of different resources and places to go. There's different business publications. And business publications also create lists of the top companies, in different industries. And those are often good resources. If you go to your local library, you could probably get a number of different magazines that have their top 10 list. That's another way to start looking at how to explore those different target those different clients. I did get another question that's actually very similar to this, and that is getting in front of the right decision makers or companies or businesses to show my program. That's a great question, too. I've kind of given you some ideas there, but another thing to think about, too, is referral marketing. And Tim Green, president of Referral Marketing, Referral Institute of Michigan, is a wonderful resource. He's got some online programs as well. But he will literally show you how to create a referral system. And in fact, for those of you that were at the Entrepreneurial Edge System 3-day intensive, you heard him speak, or if you purchased the self-study program, there's also a bonus CD where he goes through how you create your referral systems and how you create referrals for life. And so you can actually get that on the bonus CD. So check that out if you've got the self-study program. And then follow and follow the information that he gave you in that bonus CD. But essentially, you've got to be clear, too, with your referral partners on exactly who you want introductions to. Because if you're unclear, your referral partners will be unclear. So make sure that you're specific. I say exact to attract. Tim says be specific to be terrific. same thing. But you do want to make sure that when you do connect with different people and you're asking for something, that you say, I'm looking to meet with so-and-so at this specific company. That way people know exactly who it is you're looking to connect with. And that'll help you get in front of the decision makers. Now, what referral marketing is all focused on, though, is relationships. And too often, people will try to immediately sell the first time that they meet with someone. It's kind of like asking someone to marry you on the first date. What referral marketing is all about is relationship building, and it's so critical. You want to get to know someone. You want to get to know their business. So it requires work on your part first to give referrals before you can get referrals. It's kind of the cycle of reciprocity. The cycle of reciprocity is kind of like breathing. You breathe in, you breathe out. You breathe in, you breathe out. But if you're always breathing in, meaning if you're always taking, and never breathing out, becomes very uncomfortable for you and your referral partners. So when you're looking to meet and get in front of decision makers, it's going to be critical that you really take stock in what is your referral line like? What is your referral network like? Are you creating juicy relationships where people really want to refer people to you? Where they want to do work on to get you in front of those decision makers? What are you doing for them? What are you doing for them? And a lot of people say, how can I get testimonials on my LinkedIn page? And I'll say, well, how many have you given? And then they'll stop and say, because you've got to give first before you want to receive. Now, you've got to be clear, too, if you're not getting and you're giving, you've also got to understand that you've got to be clear in what you want. So if you're unclear on who your market is or who you want to be introduced to, that's going to be hard for your referral partner. So if you're saying things like, I want to talk to anyone who, take that out of your vocabulary, and say, I want to talk to this person at this company, and I want an introduction to them. And then keep asking the first person or if it's a specific company. I'd like if it's a specific position, I'd like the buyer in such and such a company. Or maybe you're targeting a specific niche. So maybe you're targeting, law firms. All right, so I wanted to talk to the top 5 law firms, and they are, and then list out what those law firms are. Now, how are you going to know where the law firms are? Simple. You've gone to the library. You've done some research. You've gone to those business magazines. And you've gone to the lists that have all of those, the top 5 law firms. And usually there's a contact name and number in there anyway. but you always want a referral into someone. A referral into someplace will give you an edge in that person returning your phone call and even getting a meeting with that person. So, remember, how are you developing relationships with that person? How clear are you when you're referring people? Or when you're asking for a referral? How clear are you? Those are critical. Those are critical elements that you want to make sure you have in trying to get in front of decision makers at your companies. Sometimes getting in front of the right decision makers too means getting in front of, I might be reading into this question, so I apologize, but sometimes it's about also defining the position that you want to meet. I mentioned earlier the buyer, if you need to meet the buyer or the executive director or a specific title within an organization. Sometimes it helps for people to maybe know a specific name. Now, I will also say that if you're not on social media, you need to be on social media and find out which medium, whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, will get you in front of, will get you information that gets you in front of those people. What I mean by that is, let's say you want a specific company. Well, you're probably going to go to LinkedIn. And you can do a search on LinkedIn under groups or companies and put in that company name. And find out who's the CEO, who's the buyer there. How far are you away from connecting with them? And make sure that before you ask somebody to make an introduction, make sure they know you. You've already created that relationship. So it's not instant. This is a long-term strategy. But, you know, again, people are using social media in the wrong way. I had somebody actually connect with me. I didn't even know this person. And he connected with me and then asked me for a connection to one of my connections and wanted me to refer him in. Now, I had no idea what, you know, this guy, he created some sort of a training program. And I said, well, you know, I responded back and I said, I don't know anything about you or your training program in order to recommend you. So I feel uncomfortable with doing this, and, you know, I emailed him back, but eventually he got introduced to that person, but it was very awkward. It was very awkward. So don't try to, you know, ask somebody to marry you the first time you meet with them or ask them for a favor if they haven't experienced your programs, your products, or services and know nothing about you. It's going to be very awkward for them, and again, it's like asking somebody to marry you on the very first date. Usually doesn't work. So just those are some tips that I have for not only getting the right decision makers, but getting to the right companies and understanding and identifying who your target market is. And a lot of times people try to say, you know, try to get into too many markets too soon. So look at your market, then expand in a market, and then go on to the next one. Sometimes that also will help you grow your business much quicker, because every time you're networking, you're going to be known. Let's say you're saying, oh, okay, I want law firms, and these are the law firms I want to get into. Well, then people will get accustomed. Oh, you specialize in law firms. Okay, well, let me, I can connect you with this person. Again, it takes a while for people to get to know what you do, develop that relationship, and also be very specific about who it is you want to meet. Okay, let's see here. Let's see if we have any other questions or... let's see here. Okay, I think we have a little bit of time here. What I'd love to do is ask anyone if you have any questions. I'm going to open up the line here real quick. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask it. And
conversation mode is on. Everyone can now be heard.
All right, make sure that you unmute yourself if you did put yourself on mute before you ask your question. But does anybody have any questions they want to ask? Everybody's going to be quiet. Anybody have any questions about anything that I've covered today or a previous call or even something that you've had on your mind?
Lisa?
Yeah.
This is Jim.
Jim.
Question on your Tuesday calls. Being a newbie,
mm-hmm.
What is the difference between the call on the second Tuesday and I think I understand this call on the fourth Tuesday?
Great question. Thanks, Jim. The call, the High Content Business Accelerator call is going to be about an area, a specific high content area of either the entrepreneurial edge, one of the components in that, or on a special topic. So, for example, one week I brought in a Lisa Mannion, who's not only a best-selling author, but she's also a writer, and she does a lot of sales pages and press releases and things like that. And she's the president of Write On Creative. And she did a whole topic on what exactly to put in a press release. So she went through all the key areas that you need to remember to put in a press release. And not only that, what makes a good press release? Why would a press release be picked up? And so that high content call, which is the second Tuesday of the month, will go deeper into an area that will grow your business. And in that case, it was just on press releases, but it could be, it's on another, a number of topics, and each one each month is different.
It's the same call-in number.
The call-in number is going to change. We're going to try out a different system next month. So it is going to change, but you're always going to receive a reminder with the call-in information.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the question. Appreciate it. Who else has a question? Everybody's going to be shy. All right. Does anybody have any other questions that they want to ask? If not, we'll move on. Okay. I'm going to put everybody on mute again.
Q&A mode is on. Participants may now unmute themselves. Presentation mode is on. Only organizers can be heard.
Okay, we'll put it back on. We'll put it back on conference mode. Another question that came in is, I need help finding office to lease. Where do I start? That's a really great question. First of all, ask yourself, do you really need office space? If you're just getting started in business, a lot of people want to get office space when they don't really need it. So really ask yourself, do I really need to incur that overhead? That's one, I think, an important question that people need to ask themselves. I think a lot of times some of that often comes out of a belief that they need an office space to be real. But there are a number of legitimate businesses that are being run out of homes nowadays, and people have home offices that don't require that that overhead expense, at least initially. But for others, you might get to a point in your business where you're saying, wait a minute, I do need a business. I do meet with clients. Well, you also might want to check out some office share arrangements. Different building owners are looking at just as their vacancy rates go up and they don't want to be vacant, they're looking at different arrangements for small businesses. There's other businesses who are subleasing their their office space because they've downsized, so they have all their office space available. The best way, too, is through networking to find out what is available. And you can also have, there's commercial realtors who also will be able to assist you in finding some office lease space. Lynn Drake, D-R-A-K-E, is a person that I'm connected with on LinkedIn, and she's a person who helps out business owners. Typically, though, she does help the larger business owner find office space, but you can easily call up different businesses depending on where you want to be located and or work through a realtor who can also help you find that. But again, if you network and just ask around, you might actually find a really nice arrangement. Or in some cases, people have arrangements where they let you rent out space for only the time that you need it, or use the office space for only times that you need it. So, again, those types of arrangements are available, especially in a more down economy. And then you'll have a lot of the building owners that are more open to different types of arrangements like that. So those are also some things to think about to finding space. Okay, let me see here if we have any other questions that came through. So hang on the phone. Gonna see. Okay, that was. Yep, we already covered that one. You know, it's funny. I still get a lot of questions about finding enough time during the day, structuring your business, and you know, it's interesting. But I think when there's a time issue. Yeah, everybody has 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week. You know, we all have the same amount of time. It's more about managing the time and managing your energy. And a lot of times people get distracted because they don't have a very clear focus. They don't have very clear goals. And oftentimes, and one of the key tools that for those of you who've been through the Entrepreneurial Edge, I know some of you who are on the call are just going through it, but one of the key tools is that business blueprint. Why? Because you won't ever complain about time again. And the reason why is because it helps you to understand exactly what your marketing mix is, what your goals and objectives are, so you know exactly what you're working on in any given time. The problem is, the reason time escapes people is because they haven't really systematized their time. They haven't reshaped the way they work. So they're doing too many things that are not revenue or client generating activities. And they haven't yet outsourced some of the administrative work. They don't, typically have, all of the activities lined up on what they're going to do. They don't have their marketing systematized. But once you do, once you have that blueprint completed, you're never again going to feel like you don't have enough time. You're going to know what needs to be outsourced, when it needs to be outsourced, what you're going to be working on, and you're not going to waste that time. So I'd have to say that if you're asking yourself that question, or that question of time keeps coming up, then look to your blueprint or revisit it, because that's going to be a key element in making sure that you're moving forward efficiently and your productivity levels are high. So that just, I do notice, though, sometimes we get a lot of themes that come through here, too. All at the same time, you know, I'll get the same question over and over. And these are great. These are wonderful questions. I want you to ask them. If we need to readdress them, we will. It's okay. You know, sometimes there's a little bit different element in a question that we answer for you. So I think with that, we are finished. I don't see any other questions in the queue right now, so I want to thank you all for coming. Remember to mark your calendar for October 11th is the next high content call, and the Q&A call, the next one is October 25th. Also, I just want to make note that in the New Success Circle website, I hope you guys love it. We're going to be upgrading and updating it, and you're going to get video library, so it's going to be really snazzy, and I'm really excited over it. But check it out. Make sure you've got access, you've listened to the video orientation that's there, that you're really scouting around. Feel free to look at the document library. In there, under announcements, is where you're going to see the call information going forward for the high content and the Q&A calls. Now, we will send out reminders, as we normally do, for these calls, but you can get that information on a regular basis there. So feel free to check it out under announcements. And then let us know what you think of the new site. We love it, but we want to make sure you love it. So email us at info@accelerateassociates.com. And if you want to see something on there you don't, then let us know that too. Again, this is your community, and I want to make sure you're getting the most out of it. And don't forget, if you're an elite member, make sure you schedule your laser coaching call by emailing us at info@accelerateassociates.com and just say you want to schedule your laser coaching call. And I believe the next laser coaching call, it is October 11th. Yep, it's Tuesday, October 11th. So make sure you you schedule that, because those pay off big. All right, with that, I want to thank everybody for coming to the Success Circle Q&A call. And I hope everyone has a wonderful evening. And until next time, create a great life. Bye now.